United States, and among his principal interests were a hunting trip in Wyoming in the Shoshone National Forest. The prince stayed at Pawhuska Teepee, a hunting lodge near the east entrance to Yellowstone National Park. One day he and his party were escorted to the North Fork drainage about half a day's horseback ride from the lodge, and there they pitched camp for the night. In honor of the prince, the site was christened Camp Monaco. Camp Monaco. The prince's guide even carved that designation into the trunk of a giant fir tree with his hunting knife. The inscription read, Camp Monaco, 1913. But now this is the rest of the story. Three quarters of a century later, this summer, a conflagration swept the forests of Yellowstone National Park such as no white man had ever witnessed. By mid-September, more than half of the park's 2.2 million acres had been affected. 9,000 firefighters were battling 13 major fires in the region, seemingly in vain. Area residents were evacuated. Tourist-dependent businesses were closed. Cook City, on the northeast edge of the park, was redubbed Cooked, C-O-O-K-E-D, Cooked City. Yet while no one can deny the human impact of the Yellowstone blaze of 88, it is intriguing, perhaps all the more so, to consider this apparent tragedy's positive side. Ecologically speaking, such fires are not only acceptable, some fires are necessary. Nature has no other house cleaning system, no other way to clear out dead trees and brush. And while it's tempting to impose a people perspective on woodland creatures, it is important to realize that wildlife is instinctively adapted to forest fires. Animals move almost nonchalantly out of the fire's path, and experts tell us that there is really little fire mortality, that people, not nature, are the true enemies of animals. Anyway, it's also surprising to note that bear and moose and deer and elk return to the area within hours while the earth is still smoldering. For in that brief time, enough rootstocks have re-sprouted, mind you, to provide food for even the larger animals. Within 5 weeks, grasses and numerous small plants will have sprung up from the new mineral-rich soil. So prepared is nature for this predictable cyclical event that lodgepole pine cones are programmed to release their seeds on occasions of fire extreme heat. This is the miracle of nature. But was this a miracle of another kind? You'll recall the 75-year-ago hunting trip of Prince Albert in the region when the prince's hunting guide carved something in a fir tree at an overnight campsite. Imagine the astonishment of those aboard a Forest Service helicopter when this summer they returned from surveying the North Fork drainage to report that they had looked down on the hundreds of acres of black and had seen in its charred midst a tiny pinpoint of green. That's right. In the wake of all that destruction, a solitary fir tree had survived. One tree, towering alone over the vast, grim disasterscape. A single living tree with this inscription in its 4-foot trunk, Camp Monaco, 1913. Trees within 6 feet were in ashes, yet that one tree lives on, bearing the hunting knife handwriting of Prince Albert's guide. An American legend who really lived. And whom you know, for that guide was the one and only Buffalo Bill Cody. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon. Welcome to KPRL Sound Off on Friday. And I'm calling it the Friday family. I already had somebody who chimed in and said, oh, I like being part of the family. So the KPRL listeners, as I've said many, many times, are very, very informed. We had questions this morning in the morning. What is it called? We call it in the morning with special where you can call in at any point in time. Anyway, sorry, Kevin. So there were questions this morning about Proposition 50 redistricting, what it means as a yes, what it means as a no. And since we're the now Friday right before November 4th election day, and we are in election season, since we have vote by mail ballots sent out to every active registered voter on the voter rolls, that is as of Monday. There are 182,439 active registered voters in San Luis Obispo County. Interestingly enough, there have been about 2,000 more than that, 184,793 ballots that have been sent out, possibly more, because some people are receiving two and three ballots. And if you're listening and you know who you are, you know who you are. I'm not making this up, even though I've been told that I'm spreading misinformation. There are people that are receiving two and three ballots, and even Chad Bianco, sheriff of Riverside County, confirmed that his son in Riverside County received five ballots. So how does this happen? Why do we have vote by mail ballots in the first place? And that came as a result of COVID, essentially, where it was 100%. It used to be that you had to make a request for a vote by mail ballot. Hey, I'm not in town during election day. I can't go to the precinct. I'm an invalid. I have whatever going on. I'm stationed somewhere where I can't get away. And by the way, it is law that your employer has to allow you time to go vote. But it's not a national holiday yet. It's not a state holiday yet. There's been some talk of that. But in any case, you always have had in our county the opportunity to vote in person on election day. And I keep reminding people, trying to keep it constitutional, that is what's called for in the Constitution, is an election day. We have an election season now because vote by mail ballots are sent out to the overseas civilians, military overseas, uniformed overseas, 45 days before the election day, and then to anyone in the county and the state 30 days before. And some counties have what's called early voting. We do not have that. We are not a voter's choice county. So we don't have early voting other than going to the North County Elections Office that's open for 1 week prior to the election. So it's open right now. It's at the Atascadero, upstairs from the Atascadero Library. That's the North County Election Office. You can go there and you can vote on an ICX machine, which is electronic voting. You have a touch screen, and you can call up your specific precinct, even though they're all the same for this election. Call up your specific precinct, and that's considered an in-person vote. That is the only early voting that we have in our county. Now, you can send in your vote by mail ballot earlier than election day, and you can drop it off at Republican headquarters in Atascadero, right across, right down from the A-Town Diner, across the street from the Habit. They are accepting ballots 12 to 4 every day. I think they will be open this Saturday, and then they will be open on election day as well. So if you can, I'm encouraging everyone, please go to your precinct on election day. Kenny, how do you know where your precinct is?
It's on the top of your ballot.
You have to open your vote by mail ballot that has a blue stripe on it. That doesn't mean that you're a registered Republican or registered Democrat. And you open that. There's an information sheet about Proposition 50. There is only one issue on the ballot. There's a yes or a no. So for the people who go, you know, I'm not sure that I can remember who I'm going to vote for, all of these different people, this is a yes and no, folks. I'm pretty sure we'll walk through exactly what a yes vote means and what a no vote means, but I'm pretty sure you can look on the top of your ballot, see a number, it'll say con and a number. Mine is 108. I will put out a challenge. We will be at the... We, I think you're 108 as well.
I am.
All right. We will be... our in-person voting is at San Miguel Community Center. We'd love to have every single... We're going to put out a challenge to every single 108 person that is going to be voting in person at San Miguel Community Center. We know some of the people that are going to be there working the polls. Thank you very much. Every single registered voter in 108, we want to see a ballot come in and cast in your name. So if we can help you do that, I can give out my cell phone number. John Bashong's willing to do that. Are you willing to do that, Kenny?
I am.
I am as well. So you can give us a call if we can help you get your ballot cast or if you have questions. We'll cover some of those questions today, but mostly I encourage everyone to please place a vote, whether you use the vote-by-mail ballot, mail it back, drop box. There's Republican headquarters. You can go to the Atascadero Library upstairs. They have the election office open. You can go down to San Luis Obispo, and the office is open there as well. We have several calls. I'll go ahead and go back to those calls, and we'll be answering questions and encouraging people to vote on this issue. Welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to read what Samuel Adams, one of our founding fathers, said.
I love Samuel Adams. Go ahead.
He said, let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not so to do, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. And also, our wonderful California Constitution and our wonderful Constitution of the United States. A constitution should be structured to permanently protect the people from the human frailties of their rulers. So it's very important that we get out and that we vote, and vote no.
Thank you so much. Yes. And Samuel Adams has so many wonderful statements. And how over the years, how has voting and voting in person changed for you?
Well, I certainly vote, and it certainly has changed, but I certainly do vote. And I think that it is important that we return the voting like it used to be, that we go to the poll.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your calling in.
Okay, thank you.
And caller, you're on the air.
Hello. For the people who think it's not going to matter one way or the other, this specific election is costing us more than $250 million. So you at least ought to get your money's worth and vote. It's really easy.
And
I mean,
it's one way to think about it. I mean, we all know that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of ways with we could doge and make our money at least be spent a little bit differently, if not better and more effectively. And so have you heard the numbers? What have you heard as far as how much this election will be costing the citizens of the state of California?
That, well, first, we're broke.
Or residents.
Secondly, it started out at 250, and then I heard it was getting up to 265. And, you know, when you're sending out five ballots to different people, the price is going to go up.
Well, that's so interesting that you brought that up. Thank you so much, because
okay.
One of the...
I've got to go.
All
thanks.
Right,
I'm
thank
just
you for
listening.
Calling in. So one of the issues where the county clerk recorder, bless her heart, Elena Cano, has sent out information that there's fact and fiction. One of them was that it doesn't cost more, that she feels that it costs more to have in-person voting at precincts than it costs to have vote by mail, and that errors are created when you're voting by hand, counting by hand, that there are more errors. So I dispute that. I think that sending out the ballots, I can go back to the budgets where we used to have vote by mail and precinct voting. And they were trying to encourage, Tommy Gong, former county clerk recorder, was trying to encourage having people go to the precincts because it would cost about a dollar. And otherwise, a vote-by-mail ballot was costing about $5. We're now up to $8 or $9. And in Kenny Enney's special election, it was about $20 per vote. We'll go to the phone lines again. Welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
How did that happen, that they were able to orchestrate this special election anyway? Wouldn't there have been a mechanism to some oversight to not allow that to happen?
Well, the state legislature approved it.
Well, yes, but my understanding is we even have a clip. I wish I could play it for you. But what happened is there were two or three people, I believe that Paul Mitchell was involved, not the shampoo guy. Paul Mitchell, who draws congressional maps and things. The Democratic Senate, state Senate, put forward these maps, and then it was literally pushed through the legislature. And there were even people who were on the head legislature committees saying, I'm on the legislature, on the leadership, and I've never seen this. How did this get through here? What's happening? And how is this being pushed forward? It was voted upon. And all of a sudden, you know, they had a tight time frame. All of a sudden, here it is. And there's a ballot, and it has the wording it has. Everything's in place. But I assure you, it was not created overnight. It's been in place for several years.
The plan.
Well, even the reasoning, I mean, they say right in the reasoning, you read it earlier, about they're doing it just because of what Texas did. We're kind of allowed, what a poor criteria for changing everything.
With things like vote, this?
In California's voting stuff.
And are you outraged? I think it's making it obvious. So in a way, I say thank you for making it obvious. And so it's up to the citizens of California to stand up and say, we want representation. We don't have representation right now. The percentages of Republicans, there are millions of Republicans who are now represented by 9 congressional seats out of 52. That's less than 20%. They want to have it go down to 5. They, meaning Newsom and the Democratic Party, want to have it down to 5 Republicans representing millions. I have to get the number, what the most recent number is, but millions of Republicans that no longer have representation in the state.
Only about 15 million. What, the state's about 40 million right now. And
39.
I think Republicans account for about 40% of the population. So
between actual registered Republicans, yeah, and no party preference, that lean Republican. So I just say, you know, in this election, I encourage everyone to vote. I especially, my personal opinion is just say no. And that this is not... We are supposed to have a republic according to our Constitution. We're supposed to, as a state, have a republican form of government, meaning representation. So when this clearly is decreasing the representation of a certain political party, I think it makes it pretty obvious what they're trying to do. So do you think that the Democratic Party is desperate? That's what Kenny's saying. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, of course they are. I mean, it's so much a party of doing something and then pointing a finger at somebody else. What's it called?
Projection.
Projection, yeah. I mean, that's their platform. Anyway, thank you.
The Projection Party? Should we rename it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I like that. Thank you. All right, thanks. Have a great day. And thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Hello, Darsha?
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to
and
comment
Kenny.
On... Oh, hello?
I have the deeper voice.
Yes, and Kenny.
I know. Oh, yeah. Hi, Kenny. I know. I wanted to comment on your part about voting in person and going to the county office in Atascadero. My friend made a mistake with her envelope, so she took her vote in there, and they looked at her funny. She said she got real funny vibes. And they said, oh, just tape it shut. And they took it from her, looked at it, and put it in some box. So they entered her vote-by-mail ballot without an envelope. And my understanding at that, quote, training we had was that it needs an envelope if it's a vote-by-mail.
Every vote-by-mail ballot must have an envelope and a signature, because that is your signature that you voted.
Interesting, because she said she felt terrible that she did it. And I said, yeah, they were a little bit intimidating, weren't they? She said, yeah. The other thing I want to comment on is the multiple ballots. I worked the precinct last year, and a very well-known North County gal obviously got married, and she said, I keep getting these two ballots. And one of the inspectors said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And she was trying to do the right thing by telling them she had two ballots. And they told her it didn't matter. So I'm just saying, I mean, I know you know this, but things are being so the public that doesn't know better is being misled, is all I want to say.
Well, thank you.
And
for...
I'm still a poll worker.
You just gave people information so that it's not coming from me, and I appreciate that.
Oh,
and thank you for working the polls. It's eye-opening. I think everyone should... work at the polls on election day. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for doing, both of you, for what you're doing.
Thank you.
We're having fun, right, Kenny? Thank you for calling in. So when you are working the polls, and by the way, it's not volunteers, you do get paid, and you're supposed to go to trainings, although it's not required. We'll come back after the break, and we'll have a few more things about what happens at the polls, what you can do, and how to most effectively vote and have it be fun and patriotic and constitutional. All right, right after this, we'll come back from the break from our sponsors.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks gaining steam in the final hour of trading and ending higher as investors digested a new batch of earnings reports. The major averages ending the week and month with solid gains. The Dow and NASDAQ posting their longest streaks of monthly gains since January of 2018. Shares of Amazon rose over 9% for a record close after the e-commerce giant forecast quarterly sales above estimates, boosted by its fastest cloud revenue growth in nearly 3 years. While Apple stock fell slightly, even though the iPhone maker posted earnings that exceeded analyst estimates, and CEO Tim Cook gave an upbeat outlook for the holiday season. The Dow winners, Amazon, Chevron, and Amgen. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, United Health, and Caterpillar. The Dow rising 41 points, the NASDAQ up 144, S&P 500 up 18. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If your cash is sitting in a savings account, it's at risk. Old school advice says save more, but today the strategy is broken. When inflation spikes, they print money or cut rates, your dollar shrinks. So do your savings. The solution? Own something real. Physical gold and silver. When the dollar drops, gold and silver prices rise. And with Noble Gold, owning gold is simple. Just visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and chat with a specialist. The knowledge is free. The protection is priceless. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your financial advisor before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Wesley with Stove and Spa Center. It's finally getting cool, and we don't want to leave you out in the cold. Stove and Spa Center has a great selection of stoves, inserts, and fireplaces to get you warm and cozy in your house this winter. Don't miss savings on freestanding stoves, gas inserts, and fireplaces. How would you like being warmer this winter and save money too? It's possible with a fireplace insert from Cozy Heat. Cozy Heat's highly efficient gas inserts and fireplaces come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero between Curb Rail and Laurel Roads.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And good afternoon. You have Kenny Ennie and Darcia Stebbins in today for the Friday Sound Off show. And we are talking elections because we have November 4th is election day. And we have questions and comments and people calling in asking about different things. I wanted to just describe the why I think what I think about voting in person is the most secure way you can vote in our county. And we have another call, and I'll go to that call, and then we may have some fun facts for you. Good afternoon, caller. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. I'd just like to say... And something, then I'd like to ask a couple quick questions about language and also pronouns. But anyway, I used to be a Republican, then I went Democrat, then independent. I'm no party preference, and I'm voting no on 50. But and then another...
You covered your bases.
Were, pardon?
You covered your bases, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, with the talking of the truck drivers that don't know English that have created accidents, it made me think of a question that I've got. Mr. Ennie,
yes, sir.
Do you happen to know what I'd heard that in the military, that if there's a group of like soldiers together, it's against military regulation to speak any language that all of the soldiers you can't speak a language unless all the soldiers understand that language. Do you know if that's true?
No, I don't think that's true, honestly. If there is, it's certainly not some sort of Department of War regulation. There may be individual unit regulations, but my last job in the Marine Corps was I ran the language program, so I would generally encourage the students going through the Defense Language Institute to speak in the language that they were learning, because the next stop was going to probably be some outpost in Afghanistan or Iraq. So I don't think that's true.
Okay. I thought maybe it was true so that they'd all be on the same page. And then the other thing, I kind of heard a few things on KPRL that there's a class action lawsuit going over pronouns and teachers that have gotten fired or something like that?
Yes, there's a lawsuit that's been going on since September of 2023. It's called Mirabelli versus Olson, and it's being handled by the Thomas More Society, which is a conservative legal group, and it has to do with two teachers who were fired for refusing to use preferred pronouns and refusing to lie to parents. That case has evolved from those teachers getting their jobs back to being a suit against the governor and the attorney general for the state of California. And it was just a week or two ago turned into a class action lawsuit statewide. So for families here in Paso Robles, and I'm actually appreciate you bringing this up, because there are families here whose children were transed, targeted by within the school district. Those families now have an opportunity to join this lawsuit. You also have teachers who've been threatened that if they don't use preferred pronouns, they could lose their jobs. They could potentially join this lawsuit as well. And again, it's through Thomas More Society. You can find it online.
Okay. Just recently, I heard an interview from a woman that she's got a daughter in the Rio Grande High School, and she's running for assembly also. But the issue was about guys doing sports in women's sports, but anyway, there was kind of a debate on the talk show. Because the father called in.
Yeah, Norcross.
And she refused to call his son, his daughter.
Right.
And they debated over there. Now, can a regular, let's say that I don't use the right pronoun with somebody. I slip up or whatever. Do you know whether I could get in trouble for using the wrong pronoun with somebody?
Sir, I am always in trouble because I refuse to use the right pronouns. And I actually, that individual that you're mentioning, the father, he was at the Paso Robles board meeting.
Past Tuesday.
On Tuesday night, coming after me. But in my opinion, it's a violation of your First Amendment rights to tell you what you can and can't say. That's compelled speech. And every lawsuit that has been brought by teachers who were fired or disciplined for refusing to address somebody by their fictitious name or their preferred pronoun has won settlements in the state of California. Every single one of them. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I would say if they come after you, sue them, and they're probably going to settle.
Well, thank you for that information. I've been kind of wondering about those two items.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much for calling in. And one of the things probably the only thing that I appreciate about the whole pronoun issue is that we're actually talking about grammar and parts of speech. So in one way, at least, if we're in the educational field, at least we're talking about parts of speech. And it seems to me that,
Our science scores are going down. So
All right. Well, transitioning to the vote by mail ballots. So I have been promoting in our county the vote in person on election day as being the most secure way that you can vote in our county. The reason why I say that, it has to do with chain of custody. When the county, and it's actually mailing house out of Porterville that sends out, prints the ballots, and then gets sent out through the postal service. It actually goes from the distribution center. And if what I'm saying is there's so many different steps in the chain of custody of that ballot and that envelope, that the longer the chain is, the more things that can happen in between. So voting in person, you go into the precinct, make sure it's your specific precinct, and the people that have a mail ballot only precinct, I can speak to that in a little bit, but look at your number. It's going to be a polling location. At that location, there may be 2 and 3 precincts. So make sure you're at the right number, because your name should be listed on that voter roster. You can turn in, you can exchange your vote by mail ballot for a precinct ballot. It is your ballot that they mail to you. It is your personal property. They can't tell you what to do with that ballot. If you want to exit out, if you want to vote it, if you want to tear it up, you have every right to do that. And I have confirmation from the county clerk recorder. And in fact, the caller that just called in, that was as a result of him calling in saying there were issues at the Templeton Community Center. And I went down there and I had 3 issues in 15 minutes. And that was one of the issues, was they said, no, you can't touch it and you must sign it in order to exchange or surrender. You do not. It is your personal property. But they don't want you having two ballots in the polling location. So you either don't have it with you, or if you bring it in, they need to. You need to exchange it. You can't have two ballots out that can be active ballots. So
and just so everybody's at up on the terminology, what is the name of the ballot you're going to ask for?
A precinct ballot.
Right.
Because you are at a polling location, but you are have a precinct number, and you want a precinct. In my case, in your case, it would be precinct 108. And we want a beautiful, flat, never-been-folded precinct ballot. And those, you vote yes or no. I say just say no, but yes or no. Put it in a separate box, and those precinct ballots get collected at the end of the evening. And those are the only ballots that are run through the tabulators and actually counted on election day. How many people have touched that precinct ballot? Two, three? Maybe four maximum. But the signed vote by mail envelopes go through probably 14 different steps, at least 10. And I say 7 to 10 days to process the ballot fully, approve the signature, and open, lay flat, and then run through the tabulator. 7 to 10 people, 7 to 10 days before that is processed, fully processed, all the way through counting. We have another call. Welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air with Kenny and Darsha.
Good morning. Hey, Darsha, two questions real quick. The second one is really applicable to this. But my first one is, for those who take their ballot to the headquarters and the representative, you know, the headquarters in the Tascadero, mm-hmm. doesn't it still go through the voting machine?
Yes, they all do. Every ballot does. So what happens if you use the vote by mail envelope, return envelope, and they're red for everyone, by the way, on the side has a red strip. That is not just for Republicans. That is everyone has the return envelope is red. When you turn that into the Republican Party headquarters, that is an unofficial ballot drop-off. And we make sure we say it's unofficial. And when you drop it off there, what they do is they become part of the chain of custody. They sign on the other side of the ballot, the return envelope, you know, where you would on a piece of mail up in the top left-hand corner. They sign saying that they are going to be part of the chain of custody. They're turning it in on your behalf. So they've identified themselves as the person that is walking it over to the Atascadero County Clerk's Office, and some go down to the San Luis Obispo County Clerk's Office. So they're walking it directly, behalf. Handing it in on your behalf, correct?
On your behalf, but there is no identification that you know, or if you take it in yourself, not to the headquarters, but take it into yourself to the precinct, you are, don't you have to show your, show that it's you?
No. You are not required any point in the process to show your identification. The only time where you must show your identification is if you are a first-time federal voter. And federal voter means when you have on the ballot a congressional seat, senator, House of Representatives, vice president, president. So a federal election is where you have one of those races on the ballot. And this Proposition 50 redistricting is considered a state election, and you do not have to show your ID. You do not have to show proof of citizenship.
Measure. There is a ballot measure that people are collecting signatures for right now for the 2026 election to require voter ID in the state of California.
Understood. Now, the other thing that I want to, the second question is, people should volunteer to pick up their friends and take them personally to do the voting. Regarding, that's what's going on with the Democrats in New York City regarding Mondami. See, I've read that busloads are being available to take people to, they're all Democrats. But that's what should occur here, okay? So maybe don't we have enough people out, I mean, money out here in the county? People with money that can, like, yeah, let's hire some buses or whatever and get people in physically to vote. Go ahead.
And I say if every person has five other people that they have encouraged or have said, I will physically take your ballot, somebody that you trust, I will take it for you to the precinct, I can help get you to the precinct. Remember when it used to be fun? There's another caller coming in. Please call back in for the other caller. And for yours, you know, remember when it used to be fun and patriotic and we get together as a group, get a plan, go together, three or four people, five people, 10 people, do your part. Let's have every single person put in a ballot. Love to see what happens then. Thanks so much for
your call. Thank you, Dr. And, Kenny, bye.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
The Spirit of Paso Robles restaurant has a wonderful atmosphere for all your friends and family. Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood is now serving weekly dinner specials like fried chicken on Wednesdays, Alaskan halibut Fridays, prime rib Saturday, and barbecue ribs on Sunday. Tell your friends and family to meet you at the new local favorite, the Spirit of Paso Robles restaurant located in the River Oaks neighborhood right in the middle of the golf course.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Sound Off. Kenny Enney and Darcia Stebbins. We're here talking elections. We're here talking school board and mostly elections. We had a caller. I'm not sure if they were able to hold. We're going to go to the phone lines and hello, are you on the air? You are on the air.
Hi. So I wanted to make a note for everybody to keep your ballots clean if you're going to be using the mail-in ballot. If you eat your breakfast and oatmeal gets on your ballot and they can't discern what your vote was, they will actually take that ballot and then copy it onto another one.
Yes, thank you. That's called remaking or duplicating the ballot, and it takes three people to do that, and it takes additional time, energy, and effort. And that's another reason why voting in person at the precinct with a precinct ballot, there's no oatmeal on that ballot.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much. Hi, you're on the air with Kenny and Darcia.
Yeah, it may be a federal requirement that you show ID for first-time voters in a federal election, but it is not enforced. You can still just register as a voter with the county clerk recorder's office, no ID.
What
self-certification.
Yes, it's being referred to as the honor system, and there's another... Technically, I'm going to say it is being enforced. You may not know it, but there are hundreds of ballots in our county every single election that get disallowed and that vote does not count with a vote-by-mail ballot. If there's a mismatched signature for some reason, you know, maybe you've had hand surgery. I had talked to a woman who had hand surgery. Her ballot did not get counted because her signature did not match and she didn't get back to the county in time to turn in the letter with her new signature. And where there's maybe a missing signature from that vote-by-mail ballot, those are disallowed. Right now, we have 84 of them in our county. And there are times where the envelope is sent back. There's actually 10 where the envelope was sent back, but no ballot. So I don't know how that happens, but I'm just saying that with the vote-by-mail process, you're supposed to, if you are a first-time voter in a federal election, you're supposed to send in a copy of your identification. So my whole issue, I like having voter ID, but who do you show your ID to? Do you show it to the ballot? Do you show it to the mailbox? Well, do you show it? Where do you show your voter ID?
Well, I was laughing because we've got poll watchers, you know, the Bill Asaley and Armeet Dillon are sending federal poll watchers.
Department of Justice.
Department of Justice poll watchers, the state of California. But if everybody's voting by mail, what's the big threat then of having the poll watcher that Gavin Newsom is so concerned about?
It sends a very, very large and in charge message.
Well, I think also when you look around the country right now, back to following the rules, California started cleaning up their voter rolls. Kimberly Caldwell interview the other day with Karen Veeley talked some about that. But I read an article yesterday. Ohio has had 1,000 illegal voters that are being referred to their state attorney general. Texas, was it last week that we talked about Texas having a couple thousand illegal voters? So, the feds are going to start cracking down. I couldn't find anything on a Trump executive order, but I think Congress is going to take action.
It is coming. I can tell you that because it is a concern. And thank you for bringing that up. And I know that anyone who's interested in having I'll bring this up. I'll let you go off the air so you don't have to be part of this because I'm going to have to do a disclaimer. But I have so thank you so much for calling in. So I have a personal issue with the League of Women Voters of San Luis Obispo County sending out emails to everyone saying, hey, we want you to have the Elections Administration Council, whatever commission. We want you to support not having proof of citizenship. That showing proof of citizenship is voter suppression. That for the people who are coming in and they don't have maybe with them their passport or whatever it might be, that they shouldn't have to show proof of citizenship. What say you, Kenny?
It's not that hard. You're going to need proof of citizenship to get to the polling place, most likely, because you're going to drive there in your own vehicle. So you have a driver's license.
But you don't have to. And here's my real issue with it is that Ms. Kano in the Board of Supervisors meeting, John Pashong, Board of Supervisors District 1, asked her, do we have ineligible voters on the voter rolls? And she replied saying, well, no, we wouldn't, because in order to be registered to vote, they have to sign under penalties of perjury that they're a U.S. citizen. So how much confidence does that give you, Kenny?
None, which also raises the question that since in order to become a U.S. citizen and pass the citizenship test, you have to be able to speak English, why would you need all these ballots and however many different languages that they're printed?
I can appreciate that. I want it to be clear, and I want people to know what they're voting for. But I do want the assimilation, and I want America. I want us to be Americans. And when you're I have to say, it is not only a state law, it is also a federal law that you be a U.S. citizen to vote. Now, they have areas where they've said you can be in San Francisco and be a resident of San Francisco, not be a U.S. citizen, but if they have a local election, that they can vote in that local election.
One question I've had about that, where they let illegals or non-citizens vote on those, they are doing that on a separate ballot, aren't they? Or are they trying to do that on one ballot that covers federal down to local?
And that's where the issue comes in.
They are doing that. Well, yeah.
So in order to be able
to
vote...
Where's Bill Saley?
Exactly. It's coming. So Bill Saley has the Central District of California, the U.S. Attorney's Office, U.S. Central District, and he has declared that there will be 5 California counties and 1 New Jersey county. And I believe those 5 counties are Kern County. There's major issues there, too.
I know, but he's in
Kern
California.
County, Riverside, San Bernardino, Los Angeles County, and I'm missing one. But it's somewhere in there. Orange County, it's really the largest, I'd say largest population, but largest Republican voters. And so they're going to be observing the election on November 4th. So please locate your ballot. Please find your polling place. If you have any questions, I'm going to give you out my number, 805-452-4544. Some of you already have it. If you want to call the Republican Party office, they know how to find me. Kenny, you have already given out your number sometimes, but please, it's after tax season. I have a little more time, not much.
But you're still up until 3 a.m., yes. Right?
I am, actually. It was 1:30 last night. All right, caller, you are on the air.
I wish we had more time. I'll be brief. The first thing is, like, during the mask mandate and COVID, it took our students to stand up to the school district and get that removed. And I'm afraid that with Title IX, it's going to take our students to stand up to the people that shouldn't be in the other bathroom. And I think we need to prepare to support our young daughters and granddaughters in standing up for themselves, and that may be what it has to come to get this sooner rather than later.
I am 1,000% in agreement. You know, the voice of young Chloe Breeze at the board meeting last night was better than having, you know, 100 concerned adults. So we need an army of Chloes. We need to clone Chloes. You know, they are going to, I'll do a shout out for the Tea Party meeting on Monday night, but I'm hoping that some of those girls will come and speak, because the Pacific Justice Institute is speaking on Monday night at 6 p.m. at RP Slo headquarters. But you're absolutely right. And it shouldn't just be the girls that have to do this. I'm reading in some school districts down in Southern California, the boys are starting to boycott games as well, in solidarity with the girls. But yes, these kids have been shamed in many ways and bullied into having to live with this. And so told them is, I'm more than happy to take the slings and arrows for you, but ultimately you all have to stand up. There was a parent that contacted me last week that said, my daughter lost a CIF match to a boy. What can I do? And I said, well, have your daughter come and speak. Well, she doesn't want to, you know, be known. And I'm like, well, I can't do much, write anonymous letters. But ultimately, you're right. The kids are good. We have to encourage these kids and make sure they understand that we support what they're doing, and we'll protect them as best we can.
And part of encourage is courage. And I think that the generation that are the high schoolers now have so much courage. And we appreciate that they're coming forward and saying, hey, parents, teachers, school boards, please pay attention. This is our future, and we need to back them, need to stand behind them.
Vote on Tuesday.
The Republican Party headquarters will be open Monday through Thursday. They will not be open on Saturday unless I'm there. And the flags are out. So if you want to drive by and you see the flags out, there will be people there. And then tea party meeting on Monday night, 6 o'clock. Hope to see you
this
there.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.